The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
The following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views and opinions of the show's hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the owners, management, or staff of WGBB. And now, it came from the radio.
And welcome once again to It Came From The Radio. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking. With me in the studio, we have our very own senior correspondent, Charlie Saladino.
How you doing?
And also, for those who are paying
attention. Yeah, hello.
Hey.
Oh, that's like a long introduction. Yes, I'm parts unknown, the moon, limbo, Pandora. How many places have I been in the last 10 years?
A lot.
A lot.
Okay.
You've been to a lot of places.
I'm all those places right now.
You're in some type of time vortex.
Yeah, I'm interdimensional right now.
All right.
And they have cookies.
And they have cookies. They have special holiday cookies.
Yeah, yes. They have cookies, widescreen televisions, and remote control. Wonderful here. I'm not coming back, as a matter of fact.
So we might have to replace you with Kara the intern.
That's a possibility.
Because I always wanted an intern, and now we have one.
Yeah.
So we better make
very enthusiastic.
Better make the most out of it until she goes back and does like a real job. No, she's not even listening. All right,
no,
so
I wouldn't listen either.
And you're on the show, and you wouldn't even listen.
Yes, I don't pay attention.
Nicely done. So if anybody has any trouble listening to us on the air, you can go online to www.am1240wgbb.com and listen to us on the live audio streaming.
Also, or dead audio streaming.
That's my favorite. On the GBB website, you can also see myself, Brian, Kara the intern, and Charlie on the live webcam right now.
Yes, I see you all right now.
Provided that you're listening to us right now.
Wonderful accoutrement on the table.
Yes, that's all from the MCON. At Charlie was at from our little experimental show last week.
Yes, I'll be right with you. I'm just reading.
good job. And I guess we'll just take it away with the news. So I asked Hassan, our very own Hassan Godwin, to do the news for us. So let's see what Hassan has come up with the news.
I don't have any news. There's no news. Nothing happened.
Nothing happened.
That's the best news I've heard.
No news is good news.
No news. It's good news.
I do have a comment about a particular. I don't know if I should. I don't think it's ethical to make a comment about a particular website that I've been unfortunately frequenting to get some news on occasion.
Okay.
So I will leave the website's name out of it to keep our name out of any controversy in the future.
It wouldn't be Belmore Towing website, would it?
No, it would not be Belmore Towing website. And you have nothing to say about Belmore Towing today?
Actually, I don't have the paper with me. But just in time for the holidays, the news is brought to you in part by the Rad Bastards at Belmore Towing, located at Belmore, New York.
All right. Well, as long as we got that out. Apparently, there's a big to-do about the new Star Wars movie, of course, and then everybody is apparently looking for any small, tiny, infinitesimal piece of news to report about it, because there's really no information coming out about it at all.
Right.
People are looking to hype everything. So, of course, recently, J.J. Abrams just released a letter to the cast of the production cast and probably the acting cast of Episode 7.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
So everyone's saying that this letter ensures that these movies are going to be a far cry better than the original prequels, because of the nature of the letter.
Which says, do a good job.
Yeah, the letter reads as follows. Dearest cast and crew, what an honor it is to work beside all of you, comma, on the Star Wars Episode 7 movie. I think that, I can't thank you enough for all the work from the past, present, and the future. Let's take care of not just ourselves, but of each other. Amazing but true, the world awaits this film. Let's give M, as opposed to them, something great.
Well, let's give them. Let's give them, not M.
Yeah, give them something great. Now, of course, to this particular site, which is a crap site, whose name I will not mention, but they're right up there with Delmore Toy.
Okay.
This obviously indicates that these movies are going to be fantastic because J.J. Abrams wrote this wonderful letter to the crew saying that the world awaits this film, so let's make it something special. But I offer. This is probably the kind of letter every director of every movie offers his crew. I don't think any director is going to go, hey, you know what, we're making crap, we're not getting paid a lot of money. Nobody's waiting for this. Nobody's interested in what we have to say. So let's just show up every day, or let's just try to show up every day. Let's throw stuff against the wall and see what sticks. All right? Let's go.
I'm sure there's at least one person who does that.
No, really? Michael Bay? You think Michael Bay does that?
Right.
Okay, well, that's a letter. Apparently, that's a big deal because there's nothing to report on Star Wars Episode 7 of any pertinence. So they circulated his wonderful letter. Isn't that great?
Yes.
Aren't you thrilled? Isn't that a great piece of news?
Yes, that's good job getting that news.
Hey,
is that all you got?
That's my job. That's what I do. I go and get the news.
Well, for this week anyway.
Yeah, and hopefully only this week. Let's see, another piece of news. Sorry. Days of Future Present storms past Godzilla for number one. Apparently Godzilla, the new 2004 movie of Godzilla, came out last weekend, the week before last, excuse me. And it was, it was basically a big hit. Made about $90 million in its first weekend. Well received. But by some, there have been some critiques. And, some people are upset Godzilla was a little portly. Also that, there was a lot of humans in it where there should have been more Godzilla in Godzilla's movie. Which is kind of the same complaint that I had about Transformers. And a lot of people share that complaint. But I saw the Godzilla movie, and, I have my own thoughts on it. We're going to cover that later.
Right.
Apparently. Right? Okay.
Apparently.
So, during the Godzilla show.
Right. During the Godzilla show, not the Spider-Man
right,
show.
Right. So, great. So, apparently the new X-Men movie comes out, and then I have to say to myself personally that I have had kind of questionable enthusiasm about this X-Men movie. I saw the trailers, and I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. I wasn't really blown away. I've seen a bunch of other movies. I saw the Captain America movie, and I thought it was fantastic, and I was really anticipating that movie. So, now, to hear that, and I have not seen X-Men yet, to hear that the X-Men has come out and has, basically sweeped the box office and destroyed the king of all monsters, it's pretty interesting news for me. The article says the combination of the old and new mutants brought the X-Men franchise its biggest opening since 2006's The Last Stand. This weekend's X-Men Days of Future Past earned $90.7 million, over the first 3 days of the Memorial Day weekend, which is odd because we're really in the second day of the three-day weekend. So how it could have, but never mind.
All right, so I'm gonna pause you right there because Charlie has a whole bunch of stuff here and he's eager to talk about it. And I wanna tell you, Hassan. No.
I just like to throw a wrench into the works every once in a while.
See, it's not so easy doing the news, is it, Hassan?
I never said it was easy.
Well, you like to say little things about my news gathering information.
But that's his job.
My point.
You
my
leave
point,
him alone.
So,
that's what makes the news.
My point is always your voice reading the executive speak.
So we don't have any executives or any other bits of news. Just stuff made.
I had several bits of news, but if Charlie has news, I'd like to hear Charlie's news.
Yes, Charlie. What do you have in front of us on the site here?
I got nothing. No, that's... I love you. I just bought some artwork from MCOM. This is from Jennifer Scrimenti. This is from Kelly Gordon. And this is... That artwork over there is from Soojin Kim, who calls herself Skim. I guess that would cut a lot of work out. And this is Joe Liotta, who... I actually love this one. I bought it because I really liked it. These two, I just... love the colors and the artwork. That one is just something about that Sujin's one, which was just very
he's
eerie,
referring to
lonely.
The one that looks like a geisha.
Yes, yeah.
Can I interrupt for just a moment?
She was dressed as a geisha.
Can I interrupt for just a moment?
Yeah.
For those watching the webcam, can you hold up the picture and then give the name of that particular one? Because you said this one is so-and-so, that one is so-and-so, and no one, which one is that one? Is that one is this one?
Yeah, because Brian,
that's because
that
I really don't care. I have no care. No, I don't give a damn what they...
The weather's nice outside, and you don't want to be inside.
Yeah,
and
I was cleaning the yard. I had to stop right in the middle, grab these pictures.
Actually,
Brian is right, and I will hold up the pictures and say the names. Yay!
Okay.
Thanks for pointing that out.
I was going to let it go.
All right.
I was going to let it go, but...
Never let anything go. Nothing's over. Anyway, here I stand corrected, folks. This is Kelly Gordon's work, A Wonderful Rendition of Wonder Woman.
Okay.
Closer.
Okay.
Hold it closer.
His arm can only reach so far away.
Did I do that right?
Yes.
You got any problems with that one, Brian?
No, okay. Perfect.
Good job. Good job.
This is Jennifer... Scrimenti.
There you go.
Scrimenti. This is, hold on a minute, I'll tell you what this is.
that's her character, if I'm not mistaken, that she created.
This is Ruby and Princess.
There you go.
Okay. This lovely piece of work over here.
The geisha.
Is Geisha Girl by Soojin Kim. I said that lovely, by the way.
Yes. And finally.
This is Geisha Woman. By Joe Liotta.
So that could be like her daughter.
Right. All right, I'm done.
So.
No. Anyway, I just happened to... These I bought for myself because I just found something in each of these that I just liked.
I want to say you did a great job at the con last week.
Oh, thanks.
And those pictures that you posted are on our Facebook page, and people are really going crazy, especially the one of you and your samurai. They're loving that picture.
My new samurai. I love him. Guy's name, gentleman's name, is Yoshi Amao. And that rolls off the tongue. I love it. And he is my new samurai. He is, you will hear in the interview, he said, he is my samurai and it's his job to die for me now.
So where is he?
So he will be coming on the show soon.
No, I mean, if he's protecting you, shouldn't he be within like a five?
Well, obviously he didn't protect me against Brian over here with the thing because, hold up the pictures. He would have been in there. That would have been it. And then the intern would have took over and that would have been over. All right? So anyway.
Oh, my God, that laugh. That's all right. There we go.
But anyway, it was a great time. It was just a pleasure meeting him and his lovely actress assistant, which was Sori Guda.
The ninja, right?
Yeah, ninja also. No, samurai, difference.
No, she was dressed as a ninja.
She's dressed like a ninja, yeah.
Yeah. So,
okay. But they're all doing samurai stuff.
Okay.
Anyway, they were a pleasure. I met Eileen Stevens,
who is
a voiceover actress. We have an interview with her coming up.
Oh, cool.
And, I better say this right.
All right.
Because if I don't, I'm going to get a lot of flack from... He told me
Himekawa,
who was here, who was on the show.
Yeah.
And guess what I forgot to do? I forgot to bring her CD.
That's right, what you said.
Next week, we will hear her her CD here on our break.
Okay.
And stuff like that. And a lot of great things were happening. My friends who let me, if you look at the picture.
The drums.
And see me playing this huge, huge... drum. It's from Omi Tikio, which is their drum organization. And, oh, they were really, really good. Everybody, we had a wonderful sort of like, I would say he was a geek comedian.
Right, because he catered.
He was Ian Rubin, who was exceptionally funny, had the crowd going crazy. And that was funny. A lot of good things going on there. So, and once again, thanks to Kelly and Jen for inviting me down there. I'm looking forward to go down next year. But we will have all these people that I'm talking about on the show, and we will talk about
them with them as
the anime
do.
And their you know, actually Yoshi Amao has quite a lot of credits. He has this show on Disney called Going Gong. It's like a kid's game show, and it's on Disney XD. All right. And he does a lot of shows, and he's a very witty gentleman. Good actor, nice, funny. So looking forward to having him on the show. And I must apologize to all of, which I will mention names later on, Artist Alley, because I took some pictures of that and a wonderful shot of some cosplay kids in the trees outside the library.
Right.
It was a great shot. And something happened to my disc, and I had to get a new disc. And I had about 10 more pictures than what you see. And they were all lost, which is a sin, because they were real fun pictures.
So now you're going to have them come back and recreate.
Yes, we have to have them go back and stand doing that tree thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
But
so.
That's it. I'm going to be turning this page, see if I forgot to mention anybody. If I did, tough. No, if I did, I will. That all right, Brian? Okay. I'm
going to
check with Brian.
All right. Okay. Good job. That's teamwork.
Just let me know, Brian. Just jump in there and let me know anything.
All right. Okay, Hassan. So let's end this with a nice big good news. What's the best bit of news you have there for us?
I don't know. I don't have any good news. Good news.
No good news?
I don't know. We were on good news if you're into the X-Men.
Well,
that their movie is doing well, and that's great news for the comic book industry altogether.
It came in as the second highest Memorial Day opening of all time. Yeah,
with an estimated 3-day total of $90 million. Even though the 3 days isn't over yet, I don't understand how that works. But
I can tell you how it works if you really want to know.
No, I don't. the four day cum of $110 million. Bryan Singer's X-Men: Days of Future Past has already passed $261 million worldwide. After just a few days of release, and its budget was $225 million. So those are good numbers for the X-Men franchise, which means that, you know, that's good news for comic books, that's good news for X-Men, that's good news for Bryan Singer, who got arrested not too long ago, and that story suddenly faded out of existence. And, the next movie is X-Men Age of Apocalypse, which is not to be confused with Age of Ultron. So, you know, nothing confusing there. And it's already started up the X-Men versus Avengers hoopla amongst the interneters and the bloggers and stuff like that. Because, as you all know, the X-Men franchise was dead, according to the bloggers, until now, which is very much alive, since everyone spent money to go see it. So now, Avengers is apparently in trouble. And that's the way the news works. And that's the news I have to report.
Just in the past, I'd say 3 weeks, I've noticed how crazy the quote-unquote intertubes is. Because, you know, the movie comes out, and then that's all you hear about. Everything, and comparing it to this, and comparing it to that, and comparing it to this thing. And then the next movie comes out, and then they just completely forgot about the movie that they were just talking about. It's the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Like Godzilla.
They were going crazy about Godzilla, then that was it. And that was all... Like, what happened?
And like I said, like I read to you a few minutes ago, the article says the X-Men sweeps by Godzilla and destroys Godzilla.
Exactly.
Good. And isn't that good that people are still going to movies and the movie industry is strong and that people are enjoying these movies? And does the fact that the X-Men made $5 million more in its opening weekend than Godzilla, does that make Godzilla less of a hit? That's the thinking of these people have. Their mentality is all backwards. So I usually tend not to pay too much attention to them.
But it's just so much. I mean, it's just completely dominating.
Well, that's why I know, and it's manic. That's what I was just saying. I just read you a letter that J.J. Abrams wrote to his cast, and that's reported as news. That was out there as an article that a guy hoping to, an artist hoping to make a good piece of art is apparently indication that he will make a good piece of art.
Right.
According to these people who really have nothing to report. And that's basically the way it is.
So it's just overall extremely sad, I would say. I mean, Charlie, back in the day in your time as a senior correspondent.
Oh, wow. That's not nice.
Yeah.
I'm honoring him for his years of experience.
Wait till my samurai comes in here.
Back when everybody wore fedora.
That's
it.
Wait till Yoshi
it.
Comes in. You guys are going to be on your best behavior.
So
I won't be there. So I'll be as obnoxious as usual.
I mean, I don't remember being the same a year ago as this. There's so much news about this type of thing. I mean, back then.
Well, back in the day, and I'm talking about in the day,
right.
Not back in your day, in my days.
Right.
Again, and we said this so much. The most promos they did, the biggest promo they did for movies was in print. In print, you've never, ever seen maybe one commercial about something, but most of it was print. It was paper ads, TV ads. And again, like I said, the movies opened in the cities,
right.
the city first.
And it's at a theater
and,
near you.
Right, and then it would you. Make its way into the little boroughs. And
into the interior, the interior.
Yeah, and like we were in Brooklyn, so by the time we got one movie, many other movies were out, and you only saw them in the paper, and if you wanted to read something, it was in print. But now it's just a barrage of and to add to the promo of today's promos, now you have the Tonight Show, which I love with Fallon. He every night he'll have a different star from one of the shows. He had Hugh Jackman on the other night. Then
right.
he had a couple of people from A Million Ways to Die in the West, and he's a big promotional guy for the movies also, or that's a big promotional vehicle
right.
for the movies. And but back in the day, you had nothing like this. It was the thing that made the movie. The better the movie poster, the more money that movie made.
Well, just before we hit our commercial, The Tonight Show has been on when Johnny Carson was around. Was it the same back then? Like, did they have the big stars coming to promote their movies, or did they just come on
well,
to perform?
back then, you had, it didn't matter who, everybody was a classic legend, a classic comedian, and they all knew each other, and much like now with Fallon,
right.
he has a big circle of friends,
right.
Very, very famous friends. So they all come in to say hello. It was the same with Carson. They all came in, but nobody really promoted anything. Most of them had shows like Bob Hope, George Burns.
Right.
They had their shows. They were a big success. It was
so
something.
Like,
it was like a night
show.
Out for them to be on The Tonight Show. And, you know, but when somebody did have something to promote, they would go on in the later years.
So it's more like an exception than the rule.
Yeah, in the later years of The Tonight Show, that's what it was all about. People who had something to promote came on, and you know.
Did that improve or make things worse? I mean, from now to back then, like watching it now, you know, you have a guy, well, what's he going to promote? It's kind of like he's purposely coming on just to promote his stuff, so why is he on there?
Sometimes the star is big enough to not only carry the promotion, but carry the audience and saying, wow, we're seeing this guy. We don't care what he's there for, but we're just seeing him. The starlets, the young ladies who are not well known, they come on. They
right.
have a big part in the movie. They come on. That's a big plus for them and the show, but for them mostly.
I'm reminded on Conan O'Brien's show, I think it was LL Cool J or it might have been Ice Cube, and he was coming on the show and he was promoting a show. a movie that he was in. And he had, like, the spiel, like, oh, this is the greatest movie, you know, you gotta come see it. And Conan was like, oh, just like the other movie, which had turned out to be a flop. He was like, oh, no, that was a really bad movie. I just had to come here to say I had like the movie, but this one's really good.
Yeah.
So it's like that they're just getting paid just to go out there and just, you know.
Yeah, well, it's like our old, well, the executives say, this is the greatest thing since sliced bread. Of course they're gonna say that. I can't wait for the executives to say, yeah, this movie really sucks. I really don't care if you see it.
So,
you know, but go ahead. If you have nothing to do one night, see what you think. Write me a note.
Going back to what Hassan said.
Yeah.
No one's going to be like, well, you know, we're going to come all together and hopefully make something that people will come see, right? Right, Hassan?
Well, there's no pretense to it anymore. It used to be like it was high art in the old days. So it was like, well, yeah, hopefully this movie will make a lot of money, but we put a lot of work into it, and we wanted to make it beautiful, and we have really good actors in it. And now it's more like, you guys got to come, we got to get butts in the seats. Come see this movie. You know, it's the first weekend. You have to all be there. It's the first weekend. You have to be there opening day. We're only here to make money. That's the whole thing. It's just money. And I'm going to go on this Tonight Show or this talk show, and I'm just going to talk about movies. I'm not going to talk about myself. I'm not interested in talking about anything that's been going on in my life. I'm going to sit here and I'm going to show this clip, and then I'm going to leave so that the next guy with another movie can sit there and show his clip. Yeah. And that's basically all it is.
And a big thing about back in the day is the studios owned the actors.
Right.
They were under contract to them. So the studios more or less chose the movies and they promoted the movies that they knew were going to be a blockbuster because they had these people in it.
They knew who was going to do what.
Exactly.
And there also were a lot less movies. So, you know, there wasn't that much of a competition feeding frenzy.
Yeah. Yeah. They just had like four studios, right?
Wow. But you know, the thing about the movies back then, and I'm very proud to say there's a couple of a lot of classic movies that still
hold up,
still have recognition today, and that's all without, you know, without special effects and, you know,
the
graphics,
corporate machine. Yeah.
And that's what makes it beautiful to me when I see a movie like To Kill a Mockingbird or Citizen
Kane.
Well,
I need to hear the two of you talk about the corporate machine, though. That's pretty funny. Because I've been talking about the corporate machine.
Yeah.
I've been speaking about the corporate machine for 10 years. And then you guys all kind of giggle in the background.
Well, see, because we're having some type of role reversal going on here because you had the news items and we get to comment on them.
Yeah. You know what? I leave for 1 week and all hell breaks loose. There's another person in there. Yeah. Brian's telling me what to do. Dogs and cats living together. Anyway.
All right, so we are ready for our break. We'll be right back with Game from the Radio.
Hi, this is Amory. You've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at mfc_studios@hotmail.com. And now, here's some music. Wow, that was hot. Now, back to our show.
And welcome back to It Came From The Radio. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking.
Cheer up, Mark. Charlie, really, Saladino. It's very sad today, and I'm kind of, you know, concerned.
Hassan Godwin, Kara the intern, and Brian the engineer. For those of you a little behind the scenes, well, during the commercial break, Charlie handed me a comic. And much like when I'm watching a movie and there's full frontal male nudity and no one tells me about it, it just, you know, it's a little jarring, to say the least.
Yeah.
So I was flipping through this thing, and it is from Rose Lux, called Talk is Cheap. And it's just a little ashcan comic, very, very quickly done. Now, in the back of it, it says, "To It Came From The Radio, keep an open mind, it's Yaoi, Y-A-O-I. Now, I know what that means, which is male-on-male hentai action. So I said to Charlie, you know, it's funny that they put that at the back of the book. After seeing what I just saw, it would have been nice if they would have put it in the front of the book. And Charlie, what did you just say?
I don't know. It was so long ago.
Charlie says, oh, yeah, I knew about that.
Yeah.
Why didn't you tell me before?
Well, they actually told me, and they wrote it in the back there, but I figured, you know, just...
Oh, man.
I don't know what I figured, all right? Leave me alone.
That's just...
I don't want to play anymore.
That's just funny. So that's why I was laughing so
Mark,
hard. Yes?
There's a term. Mm-hmm. It's called look before you leap.
But information is on the back of the book. It's the last thing you would look. So I'm just thumbing through it like, oh!
You look at the back of a comic book first, though. I do that all the time. There's always stuff. It's like the
back inner page?
Yeah.
Oh, the back inner page. That's
yes.
Not fair.
Yeah, see, exactly.
That's not fair.
Thank you. Thank you.
I got to interject on Mark's behalf here. One day, we were handed a test in reading comprehension, and it had 25 questions on it.
Right. Reading comprehension. This was
and there was a huge, huge paragraph in the front.
Right.
And the teacher said, "Now I want all of you guys to finish this by,
such
you know,
a time.
Certain
right.
time." So now there's these two huge paragraphs in the front. So a lot of the kids just went right to the questions. At the end of the paragraph, the third sentence from the end of the paragraph said, "Only answer questions 1 and 3. And people were getting so nervous because kids were getting up, handing the papers in and walking out. But the rest of the class, a bunch of the class was staying there. And I'm saying, and me, I was doing the same thing until I saw those kids going out. Then I read it again and I went, oh, okay, then I signed it. But that class
Everybody
was a full 40 minutes, and it took them a full 40 minutes to answer the whole thing. And but they put that in the front. If they would to put that on the bottom,
right?
I think that we would have all done what Mark did and just, yes. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm
so
done.
So this week, we're going to be talking about the Spider-Man movie. Unfortunately,
oh,
yes, we must, because actually
okay.
We're falling behind.
It's
very weird how the movies are coming out so quickly now, and we have so much other stuff going on.
Do you notice
like
that trend that it's one right after it?
It's yeah, it's
like
not
every,
even not
all
even
the
even
studios are trying to beat each other with everything.
They're not
like
even
that.
Giving them a chance to
not
grow.
A chance. Now, Marvel has
hey guys,
X-Men
don't talk
and Spider-Man.
Over each other. I can't hear a word you're saying.
Oh, well, Charlie, we were agreeing with each other actually,
yes.
Talking about the same thing.
Yes,
it's crazy how they're just one on top of the other, just coming out, and there's no chance to breathe for the movies, and it's in such a situation that Spider-Man came out only like 3 weeks ago, and
no,
yet,
I think it was a little longer than that. It was about a month ago.
All right, so it came out about a month ago.
Because Godzilla came out 2 weeks ago.
No, Godzilla came out last week.
No, it wasn't last week. It was the week before.
What was the movie that came out last week?
know.
I'm telling you, I was. I work at a movie theater. That's kind of what I've been watching.
That's what you do.
Yeah, as they come out.
Is that why you're always dressed up when you come here? I felt
so
bad.
Yeah, because I gotta go right to my day job, my quote unquote day job at night.
Now I know.
No,
I'll come in a
ripped
shirt next time because I don't care.
So yeah, it's only been a couple weeks just to play it safe. But then again, the Spider-Man movie did come out 1 week ahead of time overseas. So we're already three movies in. The Edge of Tomorrow is coming out soon. That's a Tom Cruise science fiction movie, which we're also going to cover. We're going to cover the Godzilla. We're going to cover the X-Men. And we have conventions coming up. We have guests coming up. We're trying to get all these people in. So it's going to be quite...
Did you ever think of a time we'd be this busy?
No, actually.
There you go.
So hooray for us.
Well, you should be happy for
hooray,
the work.
Hooray for us getting behind schedule.
Yes, yes.
So we got to do Spider-Man this week.
I ain't doing Spider-Man.
Spider-Man, as you know, is
leave
the
that for
sequel,
Emma Stone, okay? I'm not doing.
Is the sequel to The Amazing Spider-Man, which is a reboot of the Spider-Man series, which is only, what, about 10 years ago that the other three came out? The first of the three? Hassan?
Me? Yeah, I guess
you.
Well, quick, mention my name when you're asking me a question.
Well, yes.
And I'll be prepared for the answer by the time you're finished with the question.
And Hassan, did the original reboot of the trilogy of the Spider-Man come out about 10 years ago or so?
The original reboot of the...
The first Spider-Man, Sam Raimi Spider-Man, came out in 2001, right?
Something like that, yeah.
Right, okay. So, it's not that old, and they wanted to make more money and change the cast and, you know, get cheaper people.
Well, there's a lot of reasons why they rebooted it, mostly because Sony was going to lose the rights to it, and they wanted to be able to hold on to the rights to it, and then Marvel was taking some of the rights back, which they have.
Right.
So instead of allowing Sam Raimi to continue on with it, whatever, they just decided to completely reboot the entire thing in order to everybody hold on to their rights so people can keep making their money.
And, of course, that they want to continue on to make their own cinematic universe because that's the new big thing now that everybody has to do.
Yeah, but Spider-Man's kind of outside of the Marvel cinematic universe,
right,
even though it's sort of interconnected.
So
they've already, you know, they've already botched their cinematic universe, but, you know, we'll get into that.
Exactly. So this is the sequel to the movie, and since it's been out so long, as we usually do on the show, it's a free-flowing conversation, so spoilers may and quite possibly will be mentioned. So if you haven't seen the movie yet and plan to see it and don't want to know what's going on, and if you haven't been on the internet at all, then I would say wait and listen to us on the archives. But
I think it's safe to mention pretty much all the stuff that's gone on in that movie since it's been like 2-3 weeks.
Well, I'm just saying there are one or two people that have not seen it.
I didn't like it at all. I hated it.
So let's just start off. Charlie hated the movie so much so
that I didn't go see it.
That he didn't go see it. He refused to see it right off the bat. So
I was busy. I had important things to do, like shoving bamboo shoots up my nails.
And you said you didn't even appreciate the first one. You didn't even want to go see that.
No, I didn't. I'm not a big fan of Spider-Man movies.
So, I mean, I'm actually, I've not been a fan of Spider-Man.
But that's not why I didn't see it. I just didn't have
okay. I'm not a big fan of the Spider-Man movies. I really didn't care for the other three that came out. And then when they rebooted
it. But
you
have no choice.
That's true. And I see it for free, so, you know.
Yeah.
And,
I have no idea what the two of you are talking about right now.
Okay.
No clue what's going on.
Yeah, so but we didn't hold it. We didn't say Hassan.
That's
so
true.
Yeah. All right. So
right.
We'll let you know.
Follow the conversation.
So this the other three I didn't really care too much about. I thought the first one out of the
why
three.
Why are we even talking about this then?
Because we're getting into it. You know what? Okay. Fine. Forget it. Hassan, what did you think of the movie? What did you, Hassan?
I think I'd like to hear what you thought of the movie first.
Oh.
I'll tell you what I thought of the movie.
All right,
well,
fine.
I told you I didn't like it.
All right, fine.
Charlie doesn't like it. We got Charlie on record for having not seen it and decided he didn't like it.
Which, right. That's how bad it was.
Well, perhaps he didn't see it because he knew he didn't like it. So that's fair.
Yes, future Charlie did not
and
know.
I can,
Charlie told
yes.
Charlie not to see it.
Right.
And I can honestly say that due to my critique of the show, it won't lose any money, so I am secure saying that I didn't like it.
I saw the movie. I was going into it negatively because I already had heard they were trying to, you know, expand the Spider-Man universe. Watching the movie, it was exactly what I thought it was going to be, too convoluted. the only good thing about it was the chemistry between Emma Stone and Andrew Garfield. And I'm actually, I have to applaud them for having the cojones of actually sticking to the comic book story with the Gwen Stacy story arc. A lot of stuff was just shoehorned in there. Paul Giamatti was wasted. The whole Rhino made no sense. Shoehorning in the Green Goblin. Fast tracking. Well, yeah, that's the whole thing. It was all about what's going to happen in the next movie as opposed to let's make a good movie now and then carry it over. So a lot of stuff didn't make sense. The whole character arc for Jamie Foxx, he started off really well. I would say that the first 20 minutes of the movie was pretty decent, but Jamie Foxx all of a sudden decided to stop acting in the movie and just, you know, like, say his lines and ask for his paycheck. And the special effects was great. The action was pretty decent. The 3D was awesome, but his reasoning for hating Spider-Man was terrible. How his powers worked was terrible. The fact that they had to stop the movie to he can go get a suit with little lightning bolts on it was terrible. They made their effort. They went out of their way to put Gwen Stacy into the situation that she had to be into for the purpose of the story. And then they negate that reason. Because they've said many times, she said at least three times in the movie that she had to be at the climax of the battle because she was the only person who knew how to turn the power back on. She kept on saying that. I'm the only person who knows how to turn the power back on. And then when she goes to turn the power back on, she presses a button that says, turn power on. So those things were really bothering me, and I could not enjoy the movie as a whole. I was almost a complete waste of time for that movie. And that's what I thought of it. What did you think? Hassan, what did you think of it?
Well, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And there you have it.
Pretty much. Yeah, I don't even know where to start. I think the Spider-Man depiction is good. I think the Garfield version of Spider-Man actually outweighs the Tobey Maguire version of Spider-Man, the actual depiction of Spider-Man. Whereas I think they got the Tobey Maguire suit perfect, and they were still working out the kinks because CG was you know not in its infancy, but is definitely in its you know young adulthood when they were putting the Spider-Man thing together. And so with the Amazing Spider-Man, the depiction in and of itself, the special effects, the visuals of Spider-Man are way better.
Right.
So they're way more enjoyable. They're way more exciting. They don't look half as awkward. There's some really cool stuff. Like when he caught the cop car to save the people from being crushed, that was kind of cool. I'm kind of a suckerish for stuff like that. His banter with his opponents is very, very much indicative of the comic book in the new ones, in the Amazing Spider-Man. So I think they got the Spider-Man aspect of it right. I think Garfield as Peter Parker is too hip to be Peter Parker. I don't think that, you know, Peter Parker is basically a geek. I think Tobey Maguire's Peter Parker was perfect. And so if you put Tobey Maguire's Peter Parker with Garfield's Spider-Man, I think you got the two. I think you got a perfect, perfect representation of the comic book. Because it's just like Batman and everybody else. As soon as he puts the mask on, he becomes a different person. He can't be the smart-alecky, wisecracking guy as Peter Parker that he is when he's Spider-Man, because that's not an alter ego. That's, you know, there's nothing different. There's no contrast to it. So there is an issue with that. Emma Stone was great. She's been great in both those movies. I don't understand why his parents need to be part of it. I know that's part of the comic book, but it's just an ongoing, droning, tiresome storyline that doesn't make any sense. And I will say two words very fast, becoming part of my triumvirate of hate, basically, that's already started by Michael Bay and to an extent Joss Whedon, and to a lesser degree J.J. Abrams. Roberto Orci, who is the writer of this clam,
right,
is a horrible writer, and they really should not allow him to write, ever. And he's got the amazing disappearing MacGuffin. That's his style. If people don't understand what a MacGuffin is, it's basically a device, it's a writing device. It's basically what, all right, like the Ark, Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Right.
The ark
itself is the MacGuffin. Okay, so whatever the MacGuffin is, anything that your main antagonist or protagonist in your story is chasing after, or sometimes with the protagonist and antagonist are chasing after throughout the entire story.
Whatever item it is.
Yeah, whatever object is at the center of your caper, that's a MacGuffin. Orchie always throws in this ridiculous MacGuffin that always has no bearing on the outcome of the story. In other words, I want Spider-Man's blood so I can save myself. This is the Harry Osborn mythology. I need his blood so I can save myself. He never gets Spider-Man's blood. He ends up becoming the Green Goblin because of some other solution that was offered to him through Oscorp. And so what was the point? What was the point of 20 minutes of him scheming to get hold of Spider-Man and scheming to get hold of Spider-Man's blood?
But
you're not even going to use it. It's not even going to be a part of the story.
But not only that, his hatred for Spider-Man is based off of the fact that he couldn't get the serum.
And he couldn't get the blood, but then he found out he didn't need it.
Yeah.
Why the heck was he hating Spider-Man again?
Exactly. That's what I was saying. That was just shoved in there for the cinematic universe. That's because he has to be in the Sinister Six movie.
Yeah. Also, according to Hollywood movies, chicks dig stalkers. All right, stalk your girlfriend if you're in a Hollywood movie and you're hot, basically. So says Twilight and now Spider-Man and every other story where
I'm gonna ask Carrie the intern, is that an accurate depiction that the main character can stalk the girl as long as he's hot? You can't nod, you have to say something.
I mean you shouldn't stalk someone, just period. I don't care if you're a superhero, a normal hot guy. No, don't stalk me. I don't care who you are. That's invasion of my personal space. I actually saw the Spider-Man movie. A lot of my friends like Spider-Man. I don't like Spidey. And I'm sitting here, and I'm talking to my friend. I'm like, why is he following her? That's
not okay. There we go. Thank you, Kara. See, there we go.
You can't stalk people. You can't make it all right.
No stalking. We have less than 2 minutes to go. So, Hassan, final thought: good, bad, indifferent. See it, don't see it. 3D.
Who cares? It's not good. I'm not going to tell anybody to see it or not to see it. I didn't like it, me personally. I have no recommendation.
All right. So we know Charlie's not going to see it.
Well, I have not seen it, and I do not like it, and do not stalk people.
Charlie recommends deciding before you know.
Yes.
Okay.
I say
there's so much other stuff better out there right now. Go see X-Men. Go see Godzilla if you like Godzilla. Go see that stuff. Don't bother with Spider-Man. You know, it's just too much.
They didn't do as well as they wanted. So that's
of course
the
not.
One in the row that underperformed.
Because, you know, they're putting all their cards in one basket, and it's a very nasty basket filled with worms and apples. That's pretty much what I can say about it. It's just one of those things that they're just not doing it right, and they still keep on missing their mark, and that's all they have. So what are you going to do? That about does it for this week on It Came From
Does
the
It
video.
Really
yes,
about
it does.
Do it? Okay.
Join us right here and every week on WGB. If you miss any part of the show, you can go on to our website, www.itcamefromradio.com. You can listen to the archives, should be up in a week or so. And we'll see you next week.
You have been listening to It Came From the Radio with Mark Torres. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests did not necessarily reflect the views of WGBB, the owners, or staff. And now we return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.
Did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.